Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Life After Abuse. Today, I'm going to be talking with Sheila Weir. Sheila is a certified professional coach, currently out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but she also operates nationally. Sheila has an extensive background in both marketing and coaching, and moved into coaching because she really wanted to help women address some of their unique needs. She is a magnificent coach, as I can personally attest to. She practices core energy coaching, which we'll also discuss during the context of this episode. And I'm thrilled to have Sheila join us today on Life After Abuse. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you, Lisa. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So, Sheila, you made a switch from marketing to coaching. Can you tell the audience why?
Actually, I spent probably the first 25 plus years of my career in the marketing field in one way, shape, form, or another. And by the end of it, I held a fairly senior marketing position with an organization and literally woke up one day, Lisa, and realized that I was not living my authentic life, which was super funny for me to come to that realization because I had prided myself entirely on living my authentic life. And so what did that look like for me? It was a case of I had done everything right, everything as I had taught to do, which is you graduate, you go to university, you go get that corporate job, you kind of follow the path that has been laid out for you, usually through our parents, in my case, certainly my parents. And I had hit the plateau and realized that it didn't feel very happy within my soul. I had all these great accomplishments and milestones, and they were wonderful, but they did not fill me up, so to speak. I realized I wasn't living my purposeful life. What I did realize, though, is that people always gravitated towards me. I always had this magical way of pulling people towards me. And it took me a while to kind of realize that that was really what it was. And when I did realize that, I thought, I need to do something with this talent, with this skill. And so coaching was something that I think I've been just naturally doing for quite a long time without actually labeling it that I was coaching. And so I woke up one day and thought, you know what? I need to commit myself to this. I can't live with one foot in the corporate world and one foot in my authentic world. And so I made the very scary decision at the time to quit my job and to start training to be an IPAC coach. So that's what I did.
Thanks a lot for that, Sheila. That's really interesting. I love how you talk about the authenticity and being your authentic self and making choices that honor who you are as a person. And I'm thinking about that also in the context of women and especially women who've suffered abuse. So what has drawn you to help women as well as women who have suffered abuse?
And that's a great question. It's something that's really just organically grown, to be quite honest with you. I think my draw towards women, specifically women who have suffered abuse, happened at a very early age for me, where I was doing volunteer work when I was still in college and working at a second stage housing program for women who had been abused and had gotten out of that abusive relationship, and kind of seeing that and seeing some of the struggles that they are fighting really spoke to me. It spoke to me on so many levels. I've also recently, in the last decade, had a close family member who suffered sexual abuse. And so I've very much seen the outcome of what that abuse can do to a human spirit. And so those two things really kind of set me up for wanting to not only speak to women where I can, but also to really focus all of my energies and efforts as I can to supporting them and helping them.
I think that, you know, how a lot of us start to get into this place where we feel so compelled to work with women. You know, we see it happen in our communities, or we see, you know, a loved one or a family member who has been abused. And for those of us who are so inclined, we just can't help but want to do something to help them. And I love how you framed it in terms of how abuse can really impact the spirit of a person. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, because I think that when women are abused, one of the first places that people tell them to go to after they're stable, right? After they're medically stable and, you know, that they're out of the initial danger period, if people will say, you need to go seek therapy because right. therapy is going to be the thing that's going to help you emotionally. And for our audience, can you talk a little bit about the difference between coaching and therapy?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's I'm glad we're clarifying that because a lot of confusion is surrounding those two terms, coaching versus therapy and the difference there. So therapy is, you know, in a nutshell, it is something that would deal with a block. In this case, we'll call it the trauma of being assaulted. And so therapy is something that deals with the trauma that's holding an individual back. It's something that has usually happened in the past. And it's something that because it's happened in the past, your client is unable to date to process it and kind of move forward. And so I like to think of it as a block, really, because it is the thing that is holding us back from taking our next step, whatever that might be. So a therapist will help work through that block and to help you deal with all of the things that have happened to you in your life and to kind of thin out that block. You know, if you think of a block drain, and I hate to use that analogy, it's a horrible analogy, but you know, you put Drano down it to kind of thin it out. Well, a therapist is very similar to that Drano. Whereas a coach, like a core energy coach like myself, we don't focus so much on the past. We obviously need to be aware of it. We'll touch point it, but it's not something that we will spend the majority of our time on. What we do spend the majority of our time on is the present, the future. Where are you right now and where do you want to go? And those are the two things that we kind of really spend a lot of time focusing on. I think another difference between therapy and the coaching is that in therapy, the therapist is the expertise. They are the professional. They are the one that has all the training. In a coaching scenario, the one with all the expertise is actually the client, not the coach. And the reason for that is because it is the client that has the experience of being who the client is. So say, for example, Lisa, you and I were in a coaching client relationship. I can't possibly come in and tell you what it's like to be Lisa or what Lisa's experiences are or how you see the world and how you show up. So those are all things that only you can share and to know what feels right inside of you versus what doesn't feel right. And so you really are, the client really is the person that has all of the control and all of the decision making. The coach is just there to guide and to hold space for the client and to ask questions that are going to really uncover things that maybe even the client isn't even aware of.
So for the audience, I just want to state that we have had several psychologists who've been on Life After Abuse, including Dr. Shawnee Glade, who focuses her practice in on women who are suffering abuse. So if you would like to take a look at that, that gives you a sense. Dr. Glade's interview gives a sense of how a psychologist is looking at trauma and how to address it. So I think that you gave a really great differentiation between therapy and coaching. And I love how you talked about the level of expertise, because one of the challenges that we hear constantly about women who have undergone a lot of abuse is that they don't think they are in control. They don't see themselves as the leaders of their own future or the decision makers of their own future. And so in coaching, it sounds like there's an opportunity to really push them into the center and say, you actually have a right to determine what your life is going to be like. Is that a fair statement?
It is a fair statement. I just want to latch on to one word you said, which is push them into the center. And it really isn't a case of pushing them. It is a case of holding space for them wherever they might be. And so in one moment, they might be in a certain space and they may not be ready to move forward. They might just really need to spend that session in that space. And that's okay. We're just going to do that because that's what feels good today for you. And that's where you need to be. And I'm going to honor the space with you and where you're at and let you know that this is a completely safe place for you to be and that you are being honored and where you're at is being honored. And then maybe next session, we're going to be in a different spot. And that's okay. We can shift and move as you, the client, needs us to do that. There's no sense in me pushing you anywhere. It's not authentic and it's not sustainable. And in coaching, we really want all of our shifts to be authentic and sustainable. That's really the goal, is to make this sustainable. And it's, if it's me telling you what to do, it's not sustainable for you.
So Sheila, that sounds very empowering. And I can again, really imagine how those two could potentially, therapy and coaching could potentially work together. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, great point. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of clients, especially those who perhaps have gone through something super traumatic like assault, who do find it beneficial to not only have a therapist to help them process what's happened to them, but also to have that coach working in it with them in tandem to kind of go, now, what do I do with this? What do I do with all these new realizations that I've had with my therapist in a different session? And here I am with my coach, and how do I unpack that? And so, it can be a very powerful, partnership to have three kind of working together, therapist, client, and coach. Of course, they work separately, independent of each other, but at the same time. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that's an absolutely great idea.
So I understand that you focus on something called core energy coaching. Can you describe for the audience what that means?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's a little bit of a unique way of thinking of coaching. And so core energy coaching really focuses on the energy that we arrive with. And when I'm speaking energy, I'm not talking about your physical energy, how fast you went up the stairs or how quickly you can run around the block, although that is a form of energy. What I'm speaking of more specifically is our spiritual energy, our emotional energy. And so think of energy like looking through rose-colored glasses or green-colored glasses. These are the lenses that we see the world through. And when we are really in our prime and we're just really happy and things are moving, then we're going to see things from a certain energy level. When we're under stress and our body is producing cortisol, we're going to see it from a completely different energy level. And so having that understanding of how we see the world, what color of lenses we're seeing the world through, and how we're showing up to others is really, really important to core energy coaching. It is this understanding actually that gives us and increases our awareness of how we're showing up in the world and allows us to choose if this is working for us. So imagine that we often find as we're kind of younger and growing up that there's personality assessments that are being done. But we in the core energy world, we have an assessment that's called the Energy Leadership Index. And that is something that measures your attitude, how you show up in the middle of the world. So once you know, hey, I show up this way, you can sit down and decide, is this working for me? Is this really taking me where I want to go? Is this feeling good to me while I'm doing it? And if the answer is yes, then you continue on. If the answer is no, then you have the choice to change that. And so core energy coaching is really all about giving you the choice. That's the power that we've been talking about before. Giving you the choice to determine how you want to show up in life and how you want to view things. Core energy coaching is something that you have the choice to do every day. You can decide every minute of every day how you want to show up. And so if something's not working for you, you can choose it. It's, again, all the power has gone back into your hands.
So one of the things that you mentioned to me was that, there are these levels of energy, like these levels of energy 1 through 7. Can you describe that? Because you're talking about how people are choosing to show up. Can you go one step deeper and just talk about what those levels of energy are and how we're making those choices?
So there are two different kinds of energies. One is a catabolic energy, and catabolic energy, you can think of it as a destructive kind of energy. So it's something that that tears us down rather than builds us up. And that catabolic energy is what we refer to in level 1 and level 2 of the 7 levels of energy. And so level 1, for example, is your victim energy level. Level 2 is your conflict energy level. And so oftentimes people will gravitate to one of those two energy levels, either 1 or 2, when they're under stress. If we go back and we think of the old fight or flight type thing, it probably comes from, an energy level 2 where I'm going to stand my ground, I'm going to fight. So we often will gravitate down to one of those energy levels. As we move through the other energy levels, 3 through 7, those are what we call anabolic. And anabolic energy is an energy that builds us up. And so oftentimes you will find individuals who are really caring or very compassionate. Others are innovative leaders. Some of them are creative creatures. When you start getting into kind of those different behaviors, then you start climbing the ladder, so to speak. It's a continuum, if you will. And you start resonating in those other levels. Your highest level of anabolic energy is level 7. And level 7 is what I like to fondly refer to as the Zen level, which is my terminology for that. It really is a level where there's no judgment. There's no criticism. It just is. What is is. It really is. There's no comparison. And so there's a real freedom as you fluctuate throughout the levels in how you show up and how you see the world. So again, there's no good or bad, and I don't want any of the audience to go, okay, so level 1 is bad energy and level 7 is good energy. That is not at all the case. Every energy level is going to serve a purpose, and every energy level is going to have something that is perhaps a disadvantage to staying there for too long. So the other important thing is that we are moving from energy level to energy level without even sometimes realizing it. So, for example, I'll have a great day at work, and I've been writing, and I've been really, you know, feeling in tune with everything that I'm doing. And then, you know, one of my kids comes through the door, and all of a sudden I find myself in a much different energy level than what I had been in 2 seconds before. And so, you know, I'm allowed to kind of live there as I need to, and then I disregard it, and I move on with my day, and I hopefully change energy levels.
You know, at the very first time that I was aware of, you know, my daughter's traumas, I absolutely was in a catabolic energy state. I was basically using up all of my energy just to get through the day. There were times when I was really feeling helpless. There were times when I was feeling super angry. And I used up a lot of my energy in those states, which made it more difficult for me sometimes to see the big picture. So some days I was just kind of living in that really low energy state. And then, you know, as I, you know, continued to process information, get the support that I needed, et cetera, I saw myself moving in towards higher energy and being able to, you know, see things differently and be able to be helpful. And it was really fascinating, you know, as you're describing it, how I look back on my own, you know, my own experience. And yeah, it was day to day. It was minute to minute. And one of the things that I didn't really connect was how my thoughts were impacting my actions, and also that I had the ability and the empowerment to change my thoughts. So
absolutely.
I think I could have used you as a coach.
Well, and I do want to point on something that you've mentioned, and I appreciate you sharing with that. I know this is sometimes a very challenging topic. It can be a really hard topic. But I do want to point out that our thoughts, whatever our thoughts are at any stage, be them positive or negative thoughts, they will affect how we feel and how we show up emotionally. And then those emotions and feelings will actually affect what actions and what behaviors we have. It is like a little triangle, and the three corners of that triangle are constantly kind of connecting to the next point in that triangle. So having an awareness of where you are with the situation, you referenced, Lisa, you know, you're kind of living in level 1 and level 2, which is our victim energy level and our conflict energy level. And it makes sense, right? Something has happened to somebody that you love, and you're helpless. You cannot change it. You cannot help her through this stage. And you're angry because somebody has done this to your daughter. And so it makes sense to me that you would be in those levels. It also, though, makes sense that as you start moving through what's happened to your daughter, you start moving through the different energy levels. So these things are all connected. It is yin and yang. It really is.
So, Sheila, if I come, you know, if I'm listening to this as an audience member and I get on the Elephant Motif site to look you up, what are some of the things that I might expect if you started to coach me? And especially if I'm in a situation in which I've either feel powerless now or I felt powerless in the past, and what I really want to feel is empowered to change my life.
Sure.
What are some of the things that you as a coach will do?
Well, there's a couple of things as a coach that I'm going to do, but the first and most important one is I'm going to hear you. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions about you, questions that you probably never thought of or didn't give yourself permission to think of. And I'm going to listen to whatever you have to say. The other thing that you should expect is you should expect a non-judgment atmosphere. So there is nothing that my clients can share with me that I'm going to judge them on, because the reality is I've never walked in their steps, no matter what their experience is, no matter what the topic is. Even if it's a similar topic to something I've lived, I've not walked it in their shoes. So you're going to get a non-judgmental atmosphere. And I hope through our time together, what you're going to be feeling is more empowerment than you've possibly ever felt before. I tend to be strong and gentle all at the same time with my clients. And of course, my client gets to decide, you know, if I'm more gentle or more firm with them, depending on the day of the week and what we're talking about. But there's a lot of accountability too in what I do with my clients. And it's all based on my clients and where they're at. But if they say they need help with something, they need to ask for it. And if they say, you know, Sheila, I really need you to hold me to task, then I'm going to hold them to task. And I'm going to ask them the hard questions on why didn't you do your homework? What was going on for you? You know, how is this affecting your bigger picture, your bigger goals? So those are some of the things that you can expect through your time with me. The other thing is I am completely in love with holding space for my clients. And what that looks like sometimes can just be a lot of silence. Sometimes it's just a safe place for you, my client, to sit down and explore what's going on inside of me right now with this question that Sheila's asked me. And I don't like the way that feels. All right, let's talk about that. How does it feel? It's just a few things that you can expect when you go to Elephant Motif and you reach out to me, for sure.
You said some really amazing things. And it sounds to me like coaching is also pretty action-oriented, although it's driven by the client. How fast or how slowly that action comes about, or how strongly they want that accountability to be. There is this sort of forward progression to achieve some goal. And that goal sounds like it can be a goal that might be, I want to, you know, everything from I want to accomplish X to I want to be Y, right? I want to be this person, right? And I think that's really fascinating as we think about women who've suffered some abuse, because while lots of them know where they are, they might need a little help to figure out, some of them might need a little help to figure out where they want to go and who they want to be. And it sounds like you can help them explore those types of topics.
Absolutely. We sit down and we dive into what makes you happy. And it's the simplest of questions, Lisa. And in fact, for many people, it's a question that they don't spend a lot of time thinking about. And a lot of them don't have their answers. They don't know. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. There was a time when I certainly didn't know either. I just knew that, you know, where I was at, it didn't feel right. Well, what does that mean? I don't know, but it's not quite right. So it's okay to not know these answers. That's kind of what we do. And we do them in sometimes little steps. And so you may not even realize some days that there are shifts happening, but I guarantee you that there are shifts happening all the time as we're talking, because you are a different person. You're not becoming a different person. You're becoming more aware of the person that you are. And that is where the power is.
I love that. And that leads into my next question. And the reason why I love it is because this, going back to authenticity, this sense of there's this person that is authentically you, and that person can sometimes get trapped in a perspective or an environment where they cannot be their authentic selves, and the sort of breaking out is just, you know, tremendous. And I can imagine the power that we could unleash on society if everyone could do that. And that brings me to a question that I have about preventing abuse to the extent that we can, right? So I'm really looking a lot into preventive methods, and we've had some good blogs on that from some great studies that have been shown. But one of the things that is very clear and that's coming out is that women who fundamentally see themselves as empowered in some way have a better shot of not only surviving the abuse, sometimes even preventing the abuse, surviving the abuse and living
a productive life after the abuse. And so if we think about younger girls and boys too, right, where could coaching help? Is there an opportunity for teenagers to be coached, and especially to give girls the sense of empowerment and really thinking about who they are? What are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting question, and here's how I'd like to answer that. I don't want to simplify abuse, because it's a horrible thing, and the effects of it are crippling to many, many people. So I don't want to simplify and say, oh, it's just a case of A, B, and C, because I don't believe that is true. But what I wonder, and what I'd like to believe, is that if we sat down and spoke to our youth and coached our youth differently than perhaps they're being coached today, I can't imagine that we would be in the exact same spot with abuse in a 10-year time or a 20-year time. And if you sit down and you think about what's really motivating a situation of abuse, it is the word power. It is a power struggle. And it doesn't matter if it is a physical abuse or a sexual abuse or even emotional abuse. Any kind of abuse can be pointed back to the word of power. And, you know, the perpetrator is the one that is trying to get the power over another human being. So what if we as coaches could teach our young adults how to get their power in a way that is actually empowering to them and not destructive to somebody else? And I think if we could do that, that would probably put us in a step very differently than where we're at today. I think coaching is something that it removes judgment. You know, it removes this wonderful world of comparison. And I'm being sarcastic when I call it wonderful. Whenever you're going to compare yourself with somebody, you are always going to lose. And it doesn't matter who you compare yourself to, you are always going to lose. And so judgment and comparison, I think, are kind of the root of all evil. So if I can sit down and I can talk to our youth and I could convince them, I could show them a different way to gain their power and to honor their power, because it's their power, not somebody else's power, then there would be little need for them to try and go out and get their power elsewhere.
So I end my interviews with four questions that I ask. So first question is, what one thing would you like for victims of abuse or assault to know?
But the number one thing is, assault does not define who you are. It is not the value that you are or the worth that you have. The assault is something that has happened, but it is not who you are. And so if I have one message for victims of abuse or assault, it would be, you can reclaim your power.
The second question is, what one thing would you encourage victims of abuse to do?
Find their voice. Find their voice and use it loudly. Use it any way they can, any way that they're comfortable. It is a case of when we shed light on something and we say, this is not okay, and no, you don't get to dictate who I am or define who I am. Just that act alone of having a voice to say, this does not define me, I think is the first step in taking back some of the power that's been taken from you through the assault.
Question number three, please name one thing that we as a society should be doing right now to stop abuse.
I believe that if we stop judging each other, I think that is the root of many things that set us all up for failure. And it's the judgment of each other, and then the judgment of ourselves. And so you go back to what I was saying earlier about comparison. When we get into judging, we start having things like hierarchies. We start having things like power struggles. We have things like, I'm better than you. You're good. I'm bad. It really sets us up with dualities, and it takes away from our ability to shine in whatever way we're meant to shine. And so what's one thing I think we need to stop doing to set us up for much brighter tomorrows that aren't filled with abuse? It's to stop judging each other.
Last question, Sheila. What is the most important thing we should be doing right now to help support victims?
I think meeting our victims where they are is super important. And so what do I mean by that? It really is so simple. Listen to them. Hear them. When they have something to say about their experience, hear them and validate them. It's okay for them to be pissed off. It is absolutely okay for them to be pissed off. It's okay for them to be feeling like there's there's no sunshine in their day, or they're just, you know, what did they do to deserve this? Or whatever thought process is going to go through their head, it is where they are at right now. And listen to them through the act of listening to them and not convincing them that they should be at a different stage or they should be feeling differently about it. But through the act of actually listening and hearing them, you're letting them know that they are worth what they have to say and what they're feeling right now.
Sheila, thank you so much for this interview. Kind of as a post note, what I would like the audience to think about, especially for those who are parents and caretakers and friends of people who have been abused, I strongly urge you to think very thoughtfully about what Sheila has talked about. I can tell you that as a mom, I wish I had known that there was a coaching option available for me. You know, this idea of taking our relatives exactly where they are and helping them through that process, but also allowing them to go through that process at their own pace and without judgment is probably one of the greatest gifts that we can give to our loved one who has been victimized. So I strongly encourage you to, you know, take to heart what Sheila has said. Please visit the Elephant Motif site for more information on core energy coaching. And again, Sheila, thank you so much for joining us today on Life After Abuse.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Life After Abuse. Until next time, do one thing to support female abuse victims. Remember, they are counting on us. If you want to find out more about Life After Abuse or would like to be interviewed, please visit the website, lifeafterabusepod.com. That's lifeafterabusepod.com. Take care and be well.